Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to our morning worship service. Great to have you all here. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 158. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus who came those many years ago and was born a baby in a manger, laid there in a humble state. Father, this is not the way that humanity would write this story. In fact, they wouldn't even honor you in any way. They would honor themselves. But the Lord himself came from your right hand with all the glories of heaven, all the adoration of the angels and the saints that are there from of old, and he came here. And he did it for one main reason, and that was to save us from our sins. He knew the day would come when he would be nailed to that cross, suffering in anguish, separated from you as he bore the sins of the world, and that includes ours. And Father, we praise you that he was willing to do that. We praise you that he was buried and rose again on the third day. He is now back, ascended into heaven at your right hand, and we're awaiting his return in the clouds, as we talked about in Sunday school, waiting for him to call us home. And what a glorious moment, what a glorious day that will be, and we look forward to that day. And we thank you that one day soon he will return to this earth to set up his thousand-year reign. And it'll be a reign of righteousness and justice and truth and goodness, love and grace, a glorious time such as this world has never known since the start back in the garden. And Father, we look forward to that day and being with our Savior and ruling and reigning at his side. There are so many wonderful things to think about at this time of year, and this hymn helps us to focus on them. And Father, we praise you for the joy that Jesus brings. We pray that all who are here today know Jesus. But if there's someone here who has come today and has not yet put their trust in him, we pray that they would believe on him for the salvation of their souls, that they would believe he died and rose again to save them from their sins, and that they can be saved through his finished work. We pray for your blessing on this hour as we continue in worship and as we pray together, as we read your word and we hear it preached. May all that is done bring honor and glory to your name and to the name of the Lord Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
I believe that's the announcements. Keep all this in mind. We did get a Christmas letter here from the Volts. Our retired missionaries, and they're doing better. They have survived COVID and all of that. And do keep the missionaries in prayer during this time, as they are, I'm sure, very busy along with everyone else. Doing the Lord's work. All right, this morning we are going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke, and reading from chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, 26 through 38. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you for all that you are to us. We thank you for the salvation that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we approach Christmas time once again, we celebrate, we rejoice, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing in our lives. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world as a tiny infant. And Lord, it's so wonderful to realize your plan and how it all developed in such a wonderful way. And we just thank you for every good and perfect gift that you send our way. Help us, our Father, to spread the good news to those around us. And we pray your blessings upon all that we're seeking to do in these days to spread the gospel to those who need to hear it. We do pray, our Father, for the salvation of many precious souls. We think of loved ones who may not yet believe. We pray, Lord, that you will bring them to yourself, to true salvation in Christ. And we pray for our missionaries. We thank you for them. Thank you for all the work that they are doing around the world, various places in various types of climate and all kinds of problems that they might face. But we thank you that they're willing to do that for Jesus' sake. And we thank you, dear Father, for your constant care in our lives, helping us from day to day to keep moving and to keep going forth to do your will. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O Lord, and help us to be faithful to you. We do pray for our country this morning, our Father. We thank you so much for the freedom that we have in Christ and for the freedom that we have in the United States. Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to help us to use that freedom to spread the good news of salvation. May your holy will be done. Bless in our service this morning and throughout the day and all that we do that will be pleasing in your sight. Be with those that are sick. We pray that you'll touch and heal them, strengthen them, and raise them up. And we'll thank you for it and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look once again here in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We find beginning the Christmas message here. This is the Advent season, and we're looking forward to Christmas with all the surprises that it holds. You know, this is something for the children. They always enjoy the anticipation of what's going to happen, you know. And I think adults do, too. What do you think? I think we do. We enjoy it, and it's always good to be involved in these things. Everyone is there in some way with gift-giving and receiving. It's a time when we try to surprise our loved ones, you know. It's not always easy. Some people are hard to buy for. Did you know that? Anyway, children especially are excited and about Christmas coming, Santa Claus, you know, and all of that. And I know people have different ideas on that. Some people don't want to mention Santa Claus in church because that would be, you know, too secular. But anyway, it's a fun time, isn't it? You enjoy Christmas? You should. Some people, I know, they get upset because of something that might have happened years ago, you know, something that happened around the holidays, and it always brings back those bad memories, you know? But I think, you know, we have to try to put that aside. Try to put that aside. Let's have a good time. Rejoice. And it's something to think about. And here we find a young teenage girl received a big surprise when she was there. She had a special visitor that came down from heaven, of all places, and deliver a message that would alter her life forever. Can you imagine that? Mary? I don't know how old she was, but they always say she's probably just a teenager, you know, going about her life there in Nazareth, a little town nobody'd ever heard of at that time. And I read the other day, it's not even mentioned in the Bible anywhere else. You know, the Old Testament, there's nothing said about Nazareth. But here we find it's a very prominent place in the Christmas story, isn't it? And we think about that. So here we looked here at this portion of Scripture in Luke chapter 1, and beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. In the sixth month of what? Well, you know, in order to find that, you have to read what's before this, right? What happened? It was the announcement by this same angel to another person, an old priest, who was there in the temple doing his work by this angel. Now, this angel has a special name, right? You know, how many angels do we have in the Bible that we know about, I wonder, you know? There was Lucifer, the one who fell, became the devil, Satan. There's Michael, the great angel, archangel for Israel. And then there's this one named, what? Gabriel. Gabriel. Let's look here for a minute in chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stands in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So, we find here this heavenly visitor, Gabriel. His name actually means man of God. Now don't ask me why they named an angel man of God. But anyway, that's God's business. But anyway, that's what he means, Gabriel. He's one of the chief angels, as we read here. He's the one in the presence of God. He's up there close to the throne, right? And so he's one of the chief angels. And he seems to be closely associated with bringing good news about the Messiah. Here we see, we've already read the portion where he appeared to Mary and announced that Jesus was coming. Here we see he told Zacharias, John is coming, right? Here is the forerunner of the Lord Jesus is going to be born. And Gabriel is the one that announces it. Now, many years before this, he had also spoken to Daniel. And let's take a look at that. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 21. Gabriel's been around a long time. Did you know that? I don't know when he was created, but he's been around for a long time. And apparently the angels don't have the same lifespan that we do. Daniel 9, verse 21. Here, Daniel is praying and fasting before the Lord. And verse 21, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning. So this is the second time he has appeared to Daniel. Being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter, and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, excuse me, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So here we find Gabriel announcing to Daniel all that's going to transpire, right? And he's talking about from the time that Jerusalem is rebuilt and all that God is going to do until the time of Messiah the Prince. We know Messiah the Prince is the Lord Jesus, right? We've seen here the announcement that this same angel brings to Mary to let her know that the time has finally come. Now, how long was it? Wow. Quite a while, huh? But anyway, here we find Gabriel making these wonderful announcements. And then he goes into all this prophetic. Wow, you could have a whole conference on these few verses that we've looked at here. But we're not going to do that this morning. Anyhow, talks about all that's going to transpire. When you have time, read that, study it a little bit. And it's really encouraging to see that God has a plan. You know, He knows exactly what He's doing. And He's got this all figured out. The Messiah, the Prince, is going to come. He's going to live His life. He's going to die. Not for His own sins, but for us. And He died to take away our sins. He's cut off, but not for Himself. You see? It's for those who believe in Him. And then he goes on talking about what's going to happen after that. The Antichrist is coming, setting up a covenant with Israel and then breaking it and all of that. That's going to happen, right? But anyway, we find Gabriel here announcing all these things. Coming back to Luke chapter 1, he appears to Zacharias, an elderly priest, as we just read a while ago. And all that transpired there, and the result of all that is that John the Baptist came into this world, right? In a, not a miraculous way, so to speak, but it seems like, you know, it's interesting. How many times do we find in the scriptures about a couple that can't have any children, and God does something, right? And then they can. They have, like Abraham and Sarah. You know. They had Isaac. And God made all those promises to him that he is still keeping today. And that he will fulfill. God, when he makes promises, he doesn't quit until they're finished. Right? So anyway, and we find that throughout a number of times. People couldn't have children and God gave them one. Samson's parents, they couldn't have children, and God gave them one. And here we find Zacharias, this priest who is faithful in doing his work for God, and his wife Elizabeth were getting old. And so God opened up the ideas that they could have this son. And, of course, John the Baptist, Jesus said, was one of the greatest faithful believers that ever lived. And he announced the coming of the Christ, and that we might know who he was. Okay, and then he appears to Mary to give her the greatest news of all. Here it's a wonderful portion of scripture. Notice what it says about Mary in verse 27. He appeared, it says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and they were of the house of David. See, the Messiah had to come through the lineage of David according to the scriptures, and it all worked out. Here we find the Lord finds this little girl, teenage girl, there in Nazareth, small town in Israel, and says, there she is. Right? And an angel goes and speaks to her. She was so surprised. You can imagine. This angel. What in the world did he look like? Huh? I think an angel, it's not, you know, they have these little pictures of the angels, babies flying around in the air and all. I don't think that's what Gabriel looked like. Because she was scared. And the first thing he said to her was, "Fear not." No. I always point that out every time we read that. And it's true. The angels always say, "You don't have anything to fear from me. Here, I'm just bringing the messenger. I'm the messenger. You listen to what I have to say, and it'll all work out for the best." So here, she was a virgin, and she was betrothed. And I read just the other day that they had three different steps in the Jewish getting together, so to speak. You had, first of all, engagement. We know what that's like. And then there was betrothal. And then there was the marriage. So she was betrothed to Joseph. She was promised to him and him alone. Right? They had already had a ceremony of betrothal. And she had promised to be faithful to him. So we see a problem coming along here, right? When she shows up with child, and Joseph says, "Wait a minute, it wasn't me," you know. And so she had to explain that this was from the Lord himself, right? And anyway, we see that Gabriel gives this wonderful message. She's engaged to this carpenter, but they had never been together in an intimate way. So, apart from a miracle, there was no way she could have a baby. So, that's what God did. A miracle. That's exactly what it was. I was reading, it's not new. We talk about the virgin birth, right, of Jesus. But it wasn't his birth so much. It was the conception. Right? When she first became pregnant, that was when the Holy Spirit made this possible for her. It's all a miracle. But anyway, we find that this is what's going to happen. Both she and Joseph were descendants of King David, but they were simple, common people. You know, you read about their life, they were poor people. They couldn't even offer the main sacrifice because it required too much, you see. And here we find that God chose her because he knew that she would be faithful to carry it out. And Joseph. That's for another sermon, but anyway, we know he did the same thing, right? He was faithful. And she was chosen by God. Verse 28. The angel came to her and he said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Now she was blessed because God was with her, right? She was blessed because God chose her in this way. Now, you know, we talked the prayer that they have, Mary, full of grace. Well, she was full of grace. That is, the grace of God was upon her. It wasn't that she herself had grace to give out. This was grace given to her from God. You see, that's the point. Just like the same thing is true of us today if we're saved by the grace of God, right? It's his grace that comes upon us. Not that we are somebody that can, you know, do something special, you know, go down the street and hit somebody on the shoulder and they get healed or something. No, it's not that. So she is receiving this message that God has given and she believes it. You notice Zacharias, when he was told, he says, "I'm an old man and my wife's getting old. We can't have a child. What are you talking about?" You know, and he doubted. So what happened to Zacharias? Remember? He was struck dumb. Mute. Couldn't speak. until the baby was born. And then he could, right? But Mary, she questioned how it could be, but she didn't doubt that God could do it. You see? That's the difference. She believed that God was going to do what he said. And so he says here, what verse was that? Verse? Mary was somewhat confused until the angel explained what God was going to do. And when she heard the explanation, she believed it immediately and gladly accepted God's will for her. It's evident that she was a righteous person who found favor with God, it says in verse 30. The angel said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." So this is the same just like it was with Noah. You know, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, right? He walked with God, and God saved him, put him in the ark, and by his grace saved him from death. And Mary was a sincere believer who did not doubt God's word and sought to obey him in all that she did. She never magnified herself, you know. Mary never said, "I've got a halo around my head." No. She said she praised the Lord for all of his goodness to her. She humbly accepted her role as a maidservant of the Lord and serves as a good example of a godly wife and mother. You read the story about their lives together, and Mary was always a faithful wife and mother to the Lord Jesus. Always faithful. Even there at the cross, she was there at the foot of the cross, watching in horror at what happened to her son. But we must always remember that Jesus is the one who came to save us. It wasn't Mary. She can't save us. She can't answer our prayers. It's the Lord Jesus himself. We pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he answers our prayers according to his will. And so Jesus is the one who came to save us from our sins. And ultimately, as I said in the scripture we read before, he's going to rule and reign forever. Mm-hmm. That same Jesus who went to the cross and died without complaining and prayed for those who killed him, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Right? That same Jesus. 3 days later came forth from the grave, right? Ascended back into heaven, and he's there preparing a place for us. And someday is coming again to receive us unto himself, and we'll be with him forevermore. Isn't that wonderful? Great. And it's certainly a great blessing to think of all that. Here, Gabriel is the messenger that God sent to proclaim this and to make it clear to all them. And you know, it's wonderful thinking about that. God has revealed to us his plan and his purpose, right? We have it right here in the Word of God. The whole thing is that we just need to read it, to study it, and to learn, and to know what he has in mind for us. And that way, we don't have to worry about what's happening all around us. You know, well, what's going to happen to us now? You know, the government's changed. Oh, my goodness, isn't it awful? Well, it is, but that's beside the point. We still know that God is in charge. It says here in verse 37, "With God nothing shall be impossible." Isn't that right? That's great. Think of that. And like Mary, each one of us are faced with the surprises of life. You know, people find all kinds of things that happen in life or into themselves. Some make them very happy, good surprises, while others may be devastating. You know, you get a bad report from a doctor or something like that, and it can really tear you up. But we need to realize that God knows all that, and we can trust Him. Keep on trusting. The lesson Mary teaches us is to trust the Lord and allow Him to work in our lives. She says, "Behold your handmaiden, O Lord. Do to me as you please." Isn't that a good attitude? What do you think about that? No matter what may take place, He says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." As Paul says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." All things. We don't have to worry about stuff. Jesus, who went to the cross to die for us, is going to be the victor in the end. He's going to be completely in charge. We don't have to worry about what's happening. If you know Christ as your Savior, rejoice. Rejoice! Why be sad? Why be downhearted? Rejoice in the Lord always. If you have never received Him as your Savior, why not do it today? You know, He's going to win. You better get on the right side, folks. Make sure that we know Him and love Him and serve Him. That's what He wants us to do. You will be surprised at what the Lord will do in your life if you'll only yield yourself to Him as Mary did. You know? And what a wonderful adventure they had, right? Think of that. All that's going through. That's the Christmas story. We'll get to that a little later, okay? But anyway, it's good to know that God loves us. He's with us. He has provided salvation for all who will believe in Him. And all we have to do is say, "Yes, Lord. Yes." Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. Thank you for letting us know what's coming. And we pray that we will be faithful, true to your name. Keep us on the right pathway, Lord. Help us to do your will. We pray for each and every one who is here today that we might have your blessings and your love to us, just like you chose Mary. Choose us, Lord, to serve you and help us to follow you in every area of our life. May Jesus, our Savior, be glorified. We pray in His name. Amen.